Turning your Bibles this morning to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. And I'm going to be preaching this morning from a story that many of you are familiar with. And it's not a message I've ever preached on an Easter Sunday before. So I hope you'll stay with me. Because we're not going to talk about Jesus' resurrection this morning. We're going to talk about a resurrection of man by the name of Lazarus. And I want us to look at that. John chapter 11, stand with me as we read God's word together. We're going to begin reading at verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been dead in the tomb for 4 days. And Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Mary and Martha to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege of being in your house today, that we can celebrate your resurrection, which gives us the hope of our resurrection. Help us to know and understand that you are the resurrection and the life. And that if we believe in you, even though we die, yet shall we live again. We thank you for that hope. For it's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you want to take notes this morning, there's a page on the back of the bulletin. You can take notes and fill in the blanks as we go along. I'm going to try to be as brief as I possibly can, and that's awful hard for me. Those of you who know me know that's hard for me. By the way, before I get started the message this morning I had the opportunity to be with my son at his church. They have an 8 o'clock service, and so we went down to Friendswood and had service with them, and I got to worship with my granddaughter, my youngest grandchild, in my arms, and she's 6 months old. This was her first Easter, and as mom and dad were up on the stage singing, she was just waving her hands to the perfect beat to the music. And this morning, I noticed several of you have babies here. How many of you have your child for the very first Easter service? Would you just raise your hand? The one over here? Others? Yeah, there's some in the back. Very first Easter service for their child, the newborn child, or sometime in the last year. God bless you. God bless you. There's nothing like having a child or grandchild's very first Easter. It's something special about it. So I want to recognize those of you who have brought your newborns or your infants for the very first Easter service. God bless you and raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This morning I want to talk about Jesus. We've been looking at the I ams out of the Gospel of John. Jesus has said several times, "I am. I am the bread of life. I am the shepherd, the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. I am the Messiah. I am that I am." He's had several declarations that we've looked at over the last few weeks. And I saved this one. We've got a couple more after this Sunday, but I saved this one specifically for Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, where Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And you all know the context of this story. It is when Lazarus, a friend of his, has been raised from the dead. There were 3 members of this family that we know that has been introduced to us in Scripture. There's Lazarus, who is the brother, probably unmarried because there is no wife that is grieving him at his funeral. Either that, it was not a happy marriage, one or the other. And then there's his 2 sisters, Mary and Martha, and they are grieving him. Probably he is a young person, because this indicates that there was great grief and it was an unexpected death. And we know a little bit about Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and I want to just share a part of that. There's every indication that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus are a wealthy family. It was Mary who poured that expensive perfume on Jesus' feet. Perfume that was so expensive, it probably cost at least a year's worth of wages. The scripture says over 300 denarius, which was a denarius was a working day's wage, and so 300 days, even with a day off every year, that's almost a year's worth of wages. So you can just imagine buying a bottle of perfume that costs you a whole year's worth of wages, whatever your year's worth of wages are. That's some expensive, smelly stuff, okay? And she poured it over the feet of Jesus. So she's probably coming from a wealthy family. His family was well known in the community. It appears that Jesus, when he was on his journeys and he would arrive at Bethany, he would stay at the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. We know on one occasion Jesus was teaching his disciples there, and Mary and Martha sort of got into a conflict because Mary wanted to sit at the feet of Jesus and study and hear the teaching, and Martha was back in the kitchen fixing food like most Baptists, and she thought Mary ought to be back there in the kitchen with her. Mary thought she ought to be at the feet of Jesus. And we could have that conversation for a long time about where's the proper place for those ladies to be. But here they are. Now they are grieving over the loss of their brother. A large contingency of people have gathered, probably because of the wealth and this family being well known in the community. They may have had big business and had a lot of dealings with a lot of business people, but they were a wealthy family. And Lazarus was probably a young person. And so the entire community is grieving the loss of this man. And I want us to look, first of all, at the circumstances that surround this story. Let's look at the circumstances. And there's four of them. I want to give them to you right quick. First of all, Lazarus has died. There are those who are prone to question all the miracles in the scripture and say, "Oh, Lazarus wasn't dead; he was in a coma." But that's not what the scripture says. It says Lazarus has died, and they put him in the tomb. In fact, they embalmed him. They wrapped him with burial cloths, and they put him in the tomb. And he had been there for 4 days. So first of all, Lazarus has died. He's not just in a coma. He has died. Secondly, Mary and Martha are grieving. They are grieving heart-wrenching grief. They are grieving like you can't imagine. Just imagine somebody that you're close to, somebody you love. Some of you have already experienced this. Imagine your grief over someone that you love dearly. And especially when life seems to be snatched from them in the prime of their life, how you grieve. And Mary and Martha are grieving. But not only is Mary and Martha grieving, we find Jesus grieving. It's the shortest verse in all the scripture. But later on in John chapter 11, it says this, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. So Mary and Martha are grieving. The community's grieving. Jesus is grieving. The third circumstance is this. The body's been buried for 4 days, and that's significant because of this. Many of the Jewish mindsets was this, that if the body had been in the grave for 4 days, that normally the spirit hovered or remained close to the body for that 4 day period. But after that 4 day period, the body left, departed, the spirit departed from the body, away from the body, and went to its eternal resting place. So there's this concept that Lazarus had died and that 4 days have passed and his spirit is no longer even lingering near the body. It has departed to its place of eternal rest. Fourth circumstance. From the perspective of Mary and Martha and all the others who are in this context, all hope was gone. They didn't see any hope that Lazarus could ever come back to them. In fact, Martha says this to Jesus, "Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died." Jesus says, "Well, your brother shall live again, Martha." "Oh, I know he will in the last days." In the last days. Now, I want you to think about this. Jesus heard the story that Lazarus was sick. Somebody sent him the news, "Your friend Lazarus is sick." And the Bible tells us that for 2 days he tarried. 2 days he tarried. He didn't go anywhere for 2 days. And he arrived back to Bethany to find that Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said there's a very specific reason why he tarried, why he waited. And that was so that the glory of God and the power of Christ would be revealed. And that he could illustrate this living truth that he is more than just a man. He is indeed the very Son of God, divinity in human form, who has the power over life and death. I am the resurrection and the life. That's the second thing I want us to look at. Well, let me share this, though, before we go on. When it comes to Lazarus, you need to know that death has no prejudice. It comes for the wealthy and the poor. It comes for the young and the old. It comes for male and female. It comes in convenient times and inconvenient times. Death is no prejudice. But I want you to know in Christ there is hope. It doesn't matter when death comes. Death is simply a moving van to heaven for those who know Christ. During some desperate times, a zoo advertised for needed help. A well-built man was rather disappointed to find that the only job left was that of impersonating a gorilla. The real gorilla had died. And the zoo still wanted to have people coming through the zoo and seeing this real live gorilla, so they hired this guy to impersonate the gorilla. And he was doing pretty good. Money was tight. He took the job, and everything went well for the first few hours until the heat started taking its toll as he was inside that monkey suit. He tried to swing from one tree to another, and he lost his grip, and he fell into the lion's den. Uh-oh, he thought. And he immediately started shouting, "Help! Help! Please help!" And the lion leaned over and said, "Stop that screaming or we're both going to lose our jobs." Sometimes we get in a desperate situation and we cry, "Help! Help!" And there's one who hears us. His name is Jesus. And it doesn't matter how desperate the situation, it doesn't matter how much it seems like all hope is gone, Jesus is there to deliver us. Amen. So, we notice the circumstances. Now let us look at the confessions that were made. There's three that are mentioned here. First is by Martha, who said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." That's the first confession. That's the first statement. "Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died." Now, Martha knew that Jesus had the ability to heal the sick. She had seen that happen. She had seen many of the miracles that he had performed. I mean, he had taken a few loaves of bread and a few small fish, and he'd fed the multitudes. She had seen him heal the sick. She'd seen him cast out demons. And so she had no doubt that Jesus could have kept her brother from dying had he been there. Had he been there. Notice the limitations she puts on Jesus. "Lord, if you had been here," can you think of any circumstances where Jesus healed people and he didn't have to be in their physical presence in order to do it? I can think of several in Scripture. But Martha thought that somehow Jesus was limited by his physical presence, that if he had only been there in Lazarus's proximity and close relationship to him, then he would not have died. That was her first declaration. Her second declaration is this: "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God." But Jesus' declaration or confession is this: "I am the resurrection and the life." You see, Jesus did not have to be there in order for Lazarus to be healed. Because when you think about Jesus' abilities, he knows no limitations. Time is irrelevant. Space is irrelevant. Think about it. He waited 4 days. Time was not relevant. Space was not relevant. And here's the most important thing. Death was not relevant to Jesus. Because he could conquer death, hell, and the grave. And he knew that. So even though here Martha puts all these limitations on Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus says, he will live again. And she says, I know that he will live again in the last days. But Jesus said this, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then Martha goes on to say this, I know that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Those three confessions, those three declarations, two from Martha, one from Jesus, and they're significant to this story. Jesus did not have to be there for Lazarus to be healed, but Jesus waited for Lazarus to die so that they would know the power of God to raise even those who have been put in the grave, whose spirits have departed, to be called out of the grave by the power of the risen Son of God, the living Son of God. I am the resurrection and the life. In 1969, the Eagle landed on the moon. That was the name for the pod, the module, that landed on the moon, carrying our first men to the moon. They set up what was called Tranquility Base. It was an ironic name for such a daring and dangerous mission. Neil Armstrong landed the spacecraft on the moon with just 11 seconds of fuel left. Sounds like a video game. Just 11 seconds of fuel left. And he did it with less computer power than is contained in a new car today. NASA seemed to be communicating a biblical principle. You can have peace in the midst of turmoil. Tranquility Base was where he landed. But it was not so tranquil. The same can be said on Earth as well. Oceanographers tell us that the sea remains tranquil below 25 feet. No matter how bad the storms rage on top of the ocean, you get down 25 feet, the water is calm, calm. And I want to say to each and every one of us, no matter what circumstances of life you find yourself in, you find yourself being battered by the waves and winds of this life, know that if you go deep with God, you put your life in His hands. He will rescue you. He will see you through. He will give you tranquility when everything seems to be less than tranquil. He will give you a peace that passes all understanding. He will give you a joy unspeakable that's full of glory. The Christian will find peace in the same place down deep. Shallow faith leaves you anxious and fearful when storms arrive, but of a deep and stable faith provides tranquility and peace in the midst of severe and threatening storms of life. Third part of this message I want to share with you is the commands that are given. There's three of them that I want us to focus on. The first is in verse 39. It's not a verse that we read. But Jesus goes to the cave where they had buried Lazarus. He sees all the people grieving. He sees Mary and Martha grieving. He cries. And to me, that's one of the most profound thoughts in all of human history. Here's the Son of God weeping with Mary and Martha, even though seconds later he knows exactly what he's going to do. And I'm here to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ will rejoice with you, but he will also weep with you in the midst of your sorrow and despair. Even though he knows he can lift you above your sorrow and despair, he will still weep with you because he identifies with you, he cares for you, he loves you, and he wants you to know that he is by your side. Jesus wept, but he gave a command. He sees all the weeping that is going on. He asks, where have you laid them? And they took him out to this cave. And the first command is this, take away the stone. They are incredulous. Take away the stone? Lord, don't you know he's been in the body for 4 days? This is not the days of modern embalming. Behold, he stinketh, is the old King James. Body odor like you would not imagine. Decaying, rotting flesh is what they expected. But Jesus said, "Would you please remove the stone?" He told them, he commanded them, "Take away the stone." But I like what happens next. He says, "Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" And then he raised his eyes to heaven and he said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. And because of the people standing around, I said it so that they may believe that you sent me." And he's about to utter his second command. The first command, take away the stone. Second command, Lazarus, come out of there. And you know what happens next? Remember, Lazarus is all bound up. He's wrapped up in that linen cloth. They used him to embalm burial. Here comes Lazarus. No body odor. No decay. He comes hopping out of that tomb. Lazarus came forth to show the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is indeed the resurrection and the life. Now, there have been those who are smarter than I who have acknowledged the fact that Jesus spoke Lazarus by name, because if he just said, "Come out," then every dead person who had ever died would have come out of the grave all at the same time. So Jesus spoke specifically to Lazarus and said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came out of the tomb. And then there was a third command Jesus gave. And the command was this: now unwrap him, unbind him, and let him go. Let him go. Now, I think there's a spiritual principle there, and I wish I had some time to talk about it, and I don't. Now just think about that. A lot of us, God has raised and given us new life, but we're still walking around in the burial clothes. We're still carrying the stench of death. We're still all wrapped up in our sin. We're still all wrapped up in the penalty of sin. We're still all wrapped up with the bonds of sin. And Jesus says, "Listen, I've loosed you and let you go if you just claim what's yours. I've set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed," Jesus said. So my friends, we do not need to live in defeat. We need to live in victory. The victory is ours in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." You need to understand that only Jesus can raise dead people back to life. He did it on more than one occasion. The bad news is Lazarus had to die again. So it wasn't a permanent resurrection. His body lays in the ground and waits to the resurrection of the last days. And all who die in Christ await that same resurrection. But the Bible tells us Jesus is the first fruits of those who've experienced the second resurrection, the second where Jesus comes forth from the grave. And the Bible says we will be raised and live forever with him in a place called heaven. The reason I serve the Lord Jesus Christ is because he is a living Lord. We sing about it this morning. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And every time I need him, he's always near. Jesus is alive. He is risen. He's not a dead man. He raised Lazarus from the dead because he wanted his sisters and all around him to know that he holds the keys to death, hell, and the grave. A woman was driving through Oregon over the Cascade Range, and she ran into a snowstorm, and she became very frightened. She peered ahead through the snow, and she saw a snowplow. She thought, "Oh, what luck." She couldn't see much, but she said, "If I just stay behind the snowplow, I'll be fine." At times, the snowfall became so heavy it almost cut off her view, but she just kept right behind the snowplow. She followed wherever that snow plow led. And after some time, the plow stopped. The driver got out and walked over to the car. And he said, "Lady, could I ask you where you're going?" She said, Well, I'm on my way to Central Oregon. He said, well, you'll never get there following me because I'm plowing the Walmart parking lot. There's a lot of religions of the world. And people think they're safe by just practicing any religion, my friends. They think they're safe. They think they're following the right guide. But there's only one guide that will get you where you need to be. There's only one guide that will get you to safety. And His name is Jesus. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And if you will follow Him, if you will live your life for Him, He will give you life eternal and life abundant. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I want to share one more story. Brother Majors, you may enjoy this. I know how much you like Tabasco. So I had to throw this story in. Before the Civil War, Edmund McElhaney operated a sugar plantation and salt works on Avery Island in Louisiana. Yankee troops invaded the area in 1863 and McElhaney had to flee. When he returned in 1865, his sugar fields and salt works were ruined. But one of the things left were some hot Mexican peppers that had reseeded themselves in the kitchen garden. McElhaney, who was living hand-to-mouth, started experimenting with these ground peppers to make a sauce that would liven up his dull diet. His newfound sauce is today known as Tabasco sauce. The McElhaney Company and its Tabasco business is still run, at last report, by the McElhaney family. What was meant for bad became something good. And I want you to know what Satan meant for harm to Lazarus and to his family, God used to bring glory to Himself and good to them. It was a sorrowful thing for to see all these family members weeping, but Jesus took that experience and turned their fear and their grief into joy and celebration. Jesus is still doing that today in hearts and lives. Jesus wants to set us free from sin and death and give us the hope of life and resurrection. Here's the question I have for you. Is Jesus your Savior and Lord? If He's not, He ought to be. You have no hope of heaven without Him. But if you have Him, my friends, you have a hope of eternal life. You have a hope of abundant life. You have a hope that even in the midst of the most difficult circumstances, He will see you through. He didn't promise to save us from every difficulty, but He promised to go with us through every difficulty. And I'm here. I've been serving the Lord all my life. I gave my heart to Christ when I was 7 years old. I'll turn 58 this year. Almost 50 years of serving the Lord, I've discovered that the most difficult and the most dark times, Jesus is there. Even when you can't feel Him, even when you can't sense Him, He is still there with you. He promised He would never leave us nor forsake us. You can trust Him. You can depend on Him. And Lazarus and Martha and Mary and all of their friends discovered that because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And we celebrate His resurrection today. He holds the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And one of these days, this old body is going to die and it's going to be placed in the grave. But Jesus has already unlocked the door. And one of these days, old Gabriel's going to toot and I'm going to shoot. I'm going to head up to heaven. I'm going to head up to glory. He's going to blow his horn and there I'm going to go. And I'm going to enter heaven's portals, heaven's gates with a new body. No sin, no sickness, no disease, no demons, no death. And I will live forever in a perfect place, in a perfect environment with my Lord and Savior who is the resurrection and life. I want you to go with me. I want you to go too. And if you don't have assurance that you're going to go this morning, why don't you have that assurance? Invite Jesus to be your Savior and Lord. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we come to You right now. We thank You for the privilege of calling upon Your name. You said, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when we cry out to You and knowing our need for You as Savior, Lord, You will hear us and respond to us. And so we pray that today Your Holy Spirit would call us and draw us to Yourself and that every soul who feels that knock on their heart's door they would say yes to you this morning and then make public their decision, their commitment to follow you, to be a Christ follower. Lead us and guide us now as we sing together, as we invite people to come and be a part of our fellowship and a part of the family of God. May your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.